Mark is the servant's authority. Heard a story about a school teacher who had injured his back, and he had to wear a plaster cast all around the upper part of his body. It fit under his shirt, and so it really wasn't noticeable, except that he looked a little bigger than he used to look. And on the first day of the term, as he went back to teach, still with this cast under his shirt, he found himself assigned to the toughest students in the school. These guys were always getting in trouble and always causing problems for the teachers. And so as he walks into this rowdy classroom, he walks straight over to the window. He opens up the window as wide as possible, and he goes back to his desk, and he busies himself there with rearranging the things on the desk. And as the breeze comes in through the window, it makes his tie flap up. And so he grabs the stapler off of the desk, and he goes, boom, and staples. It says, then they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and taught them. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. Now there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, be quiet and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him, and they were all amazed. And they said and questioned among themselves, saying, what is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey. And immediately his fame was spread throughout all the region around Galilee. Father, we thank you for your holy word today. God, as we dig into your scripture today, teach us by your Spirit. Show us who Jesus is. We might know you. And know the authority and the power and the abilities that are here. As Jesus taught and ministered to the people there in Capernaum, they get caught up and they get carried away by the message of this man named Jesus. The Bible tells us here in verse 23 and again in verse 27 that they were astonished and they were amazed at the things that they had heard and the things that they saw. And their astonishment and their amazement really centered on the authority of Jesus. Look at it again, verse 22. It says they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having what? Authority, and not as the scribes. Now look down to verse 27. It says, then they were all amazed, and they questioned among themselves, saying, what is this? What new doctrine is this? For with what? Authority, right? He commands the unclean spirits, and they obey him. So what we have here is this story in verses 21 through 28, kind of sandwiched in between these two words, authority and authority, and right before them, astonished and amazed. And so they were astonished, they were amazed at Jesus's authority. That's what Mark is trying to get across to us as he writes here in chapter 1. Jesus' authority is evident really in two ways in this passage. The authority first of his teaching, of his word, and the authority of his actions, of his deeds. And so let's look at first of those, the authority of the word of Jesus. Verse 21 says, they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue, and he taught. And so Jesus is with his disciples. We know he has at least four of them so far, because we just saw last time that he called a guy named Peter, Simon Peter, and his brother Andrew, and James, his brother John. They were fishermen, and they're now following him. And so he goes with these men, with his disciples. That's where we get the they. It says that they went into Capernaum. Now, Capernaum is an important place. It's on the Sea of Galilee. It's the place where Simon, Peter, and his brother Andrew lived. Probably James and John lived there as well. It was their hometown. Jesus' hometown was Nazareth, where he grew up there in Nazareth. Although he was born in Bethlehem, grew up in Nazareth, and lived there for a long time. But as he goes to Capernaum, home of Simon and Andrew and James and John, Jesus spends a lot of time in Capernaum. He spends a lot of time around the Sea of Galilee. He spends a lot of time in that whole area of Galilee. And Capernaum seems to kind of be his home base with his ministry. You see that as we go through the Gospel of Mark. And so he goes on the Sabbath day, it says, he goes into the synagogue. Now the Sabbath day, of course, is Saturday. We don't worship on the Sabbath day. We worship on the Lord's Day. And that is the pattern that we find in the latter part of the New Testament. As the church stopped being so much Jewish and began to be more and more Gentile, they began to follow the example to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, because he was raised from the dead on the first day of the week being Sunday. And so they celebrated the Lord's Day, and the church began to meet together and worship together. But during the ministry of Jesus, while he was here, he lived as a Jewish person, as did most of those who were the first believers in the early church, the Jewish people. They would always go to the Sabbath, and they would worship there on the Sabbath day, in the synagogue. The synagogue was sort of like the local church in those days. Now, you will not find a synagogue in the Old Testament, by the way. It was wrong part. I didn't find it. You won't find synagogues described by God or even prescribed by God. God doesn't tell the people that they need to gather together in synagogues. Okay? The reason that happened is it happened about 500 years before Christ. What happened significantly in the Old Testament was that the city of Jerusalem and the nation of Judah had been destroyed by the Babylonian army. Many of the people had been carried off into exile into the city of Babylon and the area of Babylon. And because of that, they no longer had a temple where they worshipped. They no longer had sacrifices. The only thing they could sacrifice was they no longer had a temple. But they still wanted to gather together for worship and prayer and the reading of God's word. And so the people began to do that as they were in exile. They began to gather together. In fact, the word synagogue means a gathering together. This is what it means. It means to teach with. And so they come together. And so it's just a coming together. And any place where they had at least 10 very Jewish men, they could have a synagogue. And they did. In fact, probably the city of Capernaum probably had more than one synagogue. And Jerusalem had several synagogues. And they had these synagogues everywhere where the Jewish people would gather together. And when they had services there, the typical service involved prayer. It involved the reading of the law, that is the Old Testament law, the Torah, they call it, the five, first five books of the Bible, you know, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, they had the reading of the law, a portion of that. They would also have readings of other scriptures, such as the Psalms and the prophets. They would have then usually a sermon or a teaching by a rabbi or a scribe. Bible talks about scribes. Scribes are those who talk the scriptures down. Right? You already have printing presses in those days. Everything was made in a manuscript. If you were going to have a copy of the scriptures, it was done by hand. Scribes were those who did that. And so because of that, because they spent so much time writing, how many of you, if you took and wrote down the Bible word for word, long hand, okay, you think you might learn it? You know, that's what these guys did. And so they became experts in the law. They became experts in Bible, these scribes. And so sometimes some of your translations, when the King James Version uses the word scribe, some of your translations will use the word teachers of the law. Because that's what they became, these scribes. And so the rabbi or the scribe would then be a servant or a teacher based on that scripture. And so that's kind of what happened in the synagogues. Now, Jesus is there on that day. They probably already had some prayer. They probably already read some scripture. And now it's time for the rabbi to give the sermon. Jesus took advantage of the custom that happened in the synagogues of that day. And that was that oftentimes if there was a visiting teacher or rabbi, then they would have the rulers of the synagogue would ask that visiting preacher preach for them or to teach for them. You see Jesus doing this all the time. And when you get to the book of Acts, you find Paul and some of the other apostles do it all the time. They go to the city, they go to the synagogue, and they are a visiting teacher, and they get asked to teach. And you get asked to preach. And it is a way of spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so, as Jesus comes there to the synagogue, he's going to ask him, probably to do the teaching, and he does do that. He says that he began to teach. And it says in verse 22 that they were all astonished at his teaching, for he taught as one having authority and not as the scribes. Now the people were, it says, astonished. They were amazed. Literally, that word means to strike. It comes from a word that means to hit. And it means to strike with panic or to strike with shock. In other words, these people were dumbfounded. You know? They were dumbstruck by this. Someone has said that they were thunderstruck by the authority of the word of Jesus Christ. When he began to teach, it was like they were amazement with their jaws open and they just couldn't believe what he is saying and how he is saying it. When I looked up the word astonishment, I thought, Concordance. If anybody has a concordance, what a concordance is, it's a thing that goes along with the Bible, tells you where all the different words in the Bible are found. For instance, if you want to look up a word like astonished in your Bible, you can look up in the concordance, look under it, so astonished, they tell you all the places in the Bible. That's a concordance. That's just extra. All right, that's the truth. All right? So, I looked that up in my concordance. And I was amazed to see how many times amazed and astonished and marveled are found in the gospel relating to Jesus. You'll find it all over the place. Like, for instance, when Jesus finished the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7:28 says that the crowds were astonished at his teaching. When Jesus went home to his hometown of Nazareth to teach, Matthew chapter 13, says that they were astonished and they asked each other, where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty words? Because we know, he's the son of the carpenter. We know his family. How did he get all of this? And it says they were astonished at him. And even when Jesus said nothing, people were astonished. Like Pilate, when Jesus would not answer the accusations that people were making about him. Was on trial. It says in Mark 15:5 that Pilate was in prison. amazed at people about Jesus' teaching. Mark tells us it was that he taught them. That's one having authority at a time. Jesus would expound God's word in such vivid and such concrete ways that, you know, sometimes even people had a hard time swallowing what he was saying. For instance, he told Nicodemus, a Jewish teacher, he told him, he said, you must be born again. Nicodemus is an old man. He can't fathom that. How can I get into my mother's womb and come out again? I don't want to do that. And I guarantee she don't want it. You know? It made no sense to him. Jesus would say things like that. Another example is when Jesus finally told the disciples that he would be crucified in Jerusalem. But instead of running away from Jerusalem, Jesus heads straight there. You know? And Mark chapter 10 says that the disciples were amazed. They were astonished that Jesus, having just said, that's the place where I'm going to be killed, he heads right toward that place. And it says they followed and they were. Jesus is talking about life and death situations. It amazed them. One of my favorite examples is when Jesus told the disciples in Mark chapter 10, he said it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And the disciples, it says, were amazed, and they said to each other, then, who can be saved? How did Jesus answer? He said, this is impossible. You know, if you stop and think about what Jesus said, it's simply crazy. Just think about some of the things that Jesus said. He gave vivid pictures, like in Luke chapter 16, of a man burning in hell and begging for a drink of water from Abraham. He told people that they had to be perfect as God is perfect. But some of the most amazing things Jesus said about himself. Jesus, one time in John chapter 8, he said this. He said, I tell you the truth. Before Abraham was born, I am. Abraham lived some probably 2,000 years before Abraham. That's a long time. And yet, Jesus said, before Abraham was born, I am. With that statement, he was saying that he is the Almighty God. The same God who created the whole universe. And now he is living among the flesh. Later on, he told everyone, I am the way and the truth and the life. Very clear terms, Jesus says he's the only person that determines whether a person burns eternally in hell or spends eternity with God. Mark compares the way that Jesus taught, the way that the scribes taught. It is no. The scribes would often major on the minors. They would major on trivial things. They would take and quote one another and all the time and never really said anything of importance. When they taught, they elevated the traditions of men above the Lord of God. So they were worried about things like, how much mint should I tie by doing it right? Since he does it, kind of thing. What did Jesus do? Jesus spoke about the importance of life, about heaven, about hell, about righteousness, about the kingdom of God, about eternity. When people heard Jesus preach, they knew that they were hearing words that were of eternal value. And that's so important, I think, especially for those of us who are preachers, because sometimes we can venture on the minds of people. When we start just giving you all these lists of rules that you're to follow, and things that you're to wear, and things that you're not to wear, and things that you're to do, and things that you're not to do, and all of that, and we forget about the most important things, the things that Jesus taught about life and death and heaven and hell, and about a relationship with God and the kingdom of God and all of that, we just missed the whole point, and I'm sorry that you've ever had to listen to any of that. Especially for people in my life. What a terrible thing it is to take the living, active, sharp, exciting Word of God and make it dull and dry and people just walk out there knowing what it was. Jesus didn't do that. When Jesus talked, it got to people. It touched them right where they were. They were amazed. The scribes, I think, were probably just as dry as dust. They spoke of things that nobody cared about, nobody understood anymore. But Jesus used vivid illustrations. He used parables. He used crystal clear word pictures to get this stuff across. And it's something. Another difference between the scribe is the scribe probably, for the most part, really didn't care about people. They used the people for their own and their own But you see, Jesus spoke as a lover of And when he spoke, people knew. That's why his words carry such scribes and these Pharisees were just, as the Old Testament gives us picture, they were drawing for broken cisterns, dried up wells. Jesus, his words were life. They were like arrows from the Almighty God. What Christ was speaking and expressing was not some second-hand theology. These were the very words of God. Why did Jesus know the Scripture so well? Because he was filled with the Holy Spirit of God who inspired men of God to write the Scriptures. That about the Lord. that's where we come to in verse 23. As Jesus preaches, he's interrupted by this demon-possessed man. The demon uses this man's vocal cords, causing him to scream out, and the demon declares that he knows who Jesus is. Jesus frees that man from that grip of evil, and we'll see in our studies throughout Mark that there are many occasions Jesus encounters people who are possessed by demons. You might wonder, why did that happen so much while Jesus was here? Because if you read the Old Testament, you don't find a lot of that in the possession casting out demons and those kind of things. You won't find it. There's a difference. But very little in the Old Testament. If you get past Jesus and past the apostles, as you go on to the rest of the New Testament, you find very little of that. And once you get about halfway through the book of Acts, it stops. And you just don't see it. And you might be wondering, why in the world did it happen so much when Jesus was here? Well, I think maybe it was because of this. Darkness leads to light. Because here, I imagine this demon-possessed man had been in church before. By the way, the devil loves church. Because he doesn't like people hearing the Word of God. He wants to snatch that away. Jesus told a parable one time about, the Word of God being sown like seeds. And he says some of that seed falls on hard places. And he says the birds come up and take it away. He says that's what the devil does. He says he comes in and just snatches away that before people even have a chance to let it soak in their hearts, because the devil likes to come to church and just rip that truth right out of you before you leave the door. And here's this demon-possessed man who comes to church. Probably been there before. Probably, maybe it caused a few problems in the church before, because those things tend to happen when the devil shows up, But as this demon-possessed man is there, when Jesus begins to teach, he begins to tell the truth of God, and the Word of God is sinking into people's lives, and they're astonished and they're amazed. Well, the devil can't put up with it. And so he interrupts. He causes a scene. And so when the light shines bright through the person of Jesus Christ, it exposes the